where they're actually going to get some snow and some of the snowpocalypse is in Washington, D.C., where they're also working on the omnibus bill. And we're joined by our Congressman, AL1's Jerry Carl. Congressman, good to talk to you. And has it started snowing yet? Are people running rampant in Washington?
No, we're used to nasty weather up here. So it's raining right now. It's cold, but it's raining. And I think it's supposed to start changing to ice and snow, you know, sometime late this afternoon or tonight. So we anticipate snow starting, you know, tomorrow, and really don't know where it's going from there. So we're kind of in standby at this moment.
Well, Washington is far enough south, and I've watched this over the years, that city loses its mind when it snows, even though it gets it with some regularity. Yep. You know, it cracked me up as years ago when one of the snowstorms hit Washington and FEMA offices shut down because of the snow. I was like, you know, if FEMA, you ought to be able to tough it out, FEMA, and stay open. If you're the Federal Emergency Management Agency, you know, show me some resilience, whatever that cliched word is.
If that's your job, do it, right?
Right. I mean, the rest of them, you know, truckers and farmers and everybody else are working through the snow. FEMA, keep the doors open. But that's a whole other thing. All right.
Yeah.
Omnibus bill. Something for everyone, Congressman. Yep. That's what's being discussed here. Let's talk about where you stand right now on it. I know that I read John Sharp's update over on Twitter that money in this omnibus bill to improve the causeway and work on traffic flow issues. Talk about that. And then I want to hear how you're going to vote.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of good things in this bill. And I sat down with staff this morning and we went through a punch list of all the positive things that we have in there. Now's not probably the time to get into everything, but I mean, our District 1 has got some very positive stuff in there, but there's just so much negative stuff that the Democrats have thrown in there at the last minute. You know, we've ignored the border. We want to give money to process people coming across, but yet we don't want to spend any money on border security. I mean, just lots of little things like that. I just can't pull myself to vote for it. So it's going to be one of those votes that I will vote no. I was with Coach Tuberville last night, Senator Tuberville. I talked to him at great length, and we were at the Zelensky briefing. I think he's probably a pretty firm no also. I would think Shelby, you know, Shelby's going to be a yes, I would think, but I haven't talked to him. But I just can't do it. It will pass. There's no doubt in my mind, or the Democrats wouldn't be bringing it to the floor. It's going through the Senate right now. The Senate still has to vote on it and then process it and get it to us. So we will vote on it tonight, somewhere between 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning. If they can't get it done quick enough, we'll actually vote on it tomorrow. And tomorrow is where the problem starts, because we've got, obviously, air traffic has gotten already backed up. So the chances of flying out of D.C. are going to be very, very slim to get back home for Christmas. So you're going to have a lot of House members stranded up here. But the Senate's going, they're going to make it out. They waited until the last minute to push this stuff through, and they can jump on a plane. So there's not a lot of happy House members with our senators right now because of the Christmas situation. But we've got a four-wheel drive rented. We may try to drive home. Or we just may spend Christmas up here. That's just, you know, it's part of the job. You just got to accept it. Move on.
Just joining us, talking to AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl in Washington, talking about the omnibus bill. Congressman, do the Democrats need any Republican votes for this?
No.
Okay.
They do not.
Okay, so none of y'all have to vote for it.
I feel quite confident they will get a few. There is a lot of, a lot of positive stuff. There's a handful of Republicans, and I'm told this, I don't know for sure, that will vote for it. Again, the Democrats would not be bringing it to the floor if they weren't for sure,
sure.
It was going to pass. So it will pass, unfortunately, and there's some stuff. I tell you one we're voting on right now, which really scares me. Even worse is being able to releasing the tax returns of Donald Trump. And everybody says, well, what difference does it make? It will make a huge difference in the future, because it will enable the majority who's ever in office to go after any elected official. It's setting precedent. So if they want to go after my tax records or anyone's tax records, we're giving them permission to do that in the future. I mean, there's some nasty stuff flying around here in the last 24 hours. So, and of course, the omnibus bill is one of them.
So, Congressman, in this, you know, you talk about the wasteful spending in this bill. Obviously, we don't have time, you know, in 2 weeks' time to go through all the different line items. But anything that stands out to you that you just can't get over on the wasteful spending?
You know, again, I think not spending money on the border, I just find that very offensive. With all the issues we've got, you know, and I haven't talked about this, but I guarantee you, you've got friends that has family members that died done overdoses. And it's so prevalent now, we're getting used to talking about people. It's like COVID. We don't count the deaths like we used to. And for them not to designate more money to secure that border, that just turns everything inside me out. That's about as un-American as we can get. But yet, we're going to send $45 billion more to Ukraine. I want to help Ukraine. Don't get me wrong. We need to win that war. But, you know, we got our own war down at that border. We need to be securing that border. We need to stop that fentanyl from coming across. We need to declare war on the drug cartel down there and go after their tails is what we need to do.
Now, you've said that before on here. You're not just
I'm as serious as I can be.
Right. Let's go back to that.
Take brutal force, and they're armed as well as we are, if not better.
Let's go back to that, because you've talked about this before. This is not just rhetorical. You have said on this show before that you would be for some sort of cross border strike on the producers of fentanyl in Mexico. Are you still there on that feeling?
Yes, sir. If anything, I'm closer to it. I mean, my kids, my grandchildren, and their future is worth a whole lot more than hurting somebody's feelings or killing somebody down in Mexico, period. And that's the situation we're in. We think it doesn't affect us, but you start looking around, especially young people. I mean, it's the number one killer of people between the age of, I think, 18 and 35.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one killer of that age group. And if that's not worth fighting for, if that's not worth going south of the border and taking a handful of people out, nothing is.
I mean,
and nothing else counts.
So, I mean, you're
if we can't
military.
Take care of our own, nothing else counts.
So you would be, and I'm just coming back to this because you've talked about it before, use some aspect of the military. Would that be missile? Would that be special operations?
Yep. It's going to take special operations. It's going to take boots on the ground. Now, I'm not privy to the intel. I mean, we may know a lot more and know exactly where to hit, how to strike. But the fentanyl thing, I mean, we've got to start at China and work backwards. And I'm not talking about bombing China. I'm just talking about cutting off that flow of fentanyl that's coming out of China, whether it's disrupting the distribution chain or actually where the ship to point. We can track it. I'm sure we've got intel that'll tell us where to take it out. We just got to disrupt it. We have no other choice. We have to.
Congressman.
The Democrats doesn't seem interested. This administration doesn't seem interested. They don't view it as a problem. And I'm just speaking for myself. I think it's the number one issue going into Christmas. I mean, I've got some friends that have got some children that will not be at Christmas this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
They've overdosed.
So, absolutely.
And that's heart-wrenching to me. I didn't take this position to turn my head on the bad stuff and just focus on the good stuff. We've got to take care of some of this stuff. So, anyway, I think I've said enough there, but I'm very solid. It wouldn't bother me a bit to send special forces or something over to disrupt that supply of fentanyl coming in this country. And the flow of people. You can't do it without the flow of people.
Right. Well, and we've been told everything's fine on the border from this administration.
Right. I do. Well, that's true. Yeah, that's about as true as you can get. But that's the kind of stuff. They really believe that up here, Sean. They truly believe that. They think this is a Republican issue that we have conquered. We've made up.
Right.
Think about it. The entire population of Baldwin County crosses the border every month. That's untrackable.
That's significant.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah, and it's been going on so very long. I don't want to run out of time because you mentioned talking to Senator Tuberville at the Zelensky event yesterday. I want to talk about that. Right. First of all, just my personal question here. What is security at something like that with all of y'all in Congress there? And then I would imagine a guy that has a pretty price on his head internationally, what's that security like?
Yeah, I know it's a cold thing to say, but one of the ladies sitting next to me last night, I said, you know, the chances are very high we will never see that guy face-to-face again in our lifetime, mm-hmm. you know, due to just the target that he is. The security, we're used to a lot of security here. The Capitol Police do a fantastic job of protecting us. We're used to going through metal detectors. That's something Democrats put in after January the 6th. So we really didn't go through any extra precautions last night. There were a lot more bodies around. There were some military, and he had some folks with him also. But we really don't see outside these walls. I can't tell you what it looked like on the ground and on the property. But my guess is that they had all the streets shut down. I know there were snipers on the roof because from my office you can see the snipers when they get on the roof and they start walking. And you see that the hats and the helmets and the barrels of the guns walking around. So they had snipers out, which is not that uncommon up here. It was very pleasant on the floor. I mean, we had Democrats sitting among us. It was one of the few times I've seen us really mingle.
Well, okay,
he did a great job. You know, he did it all in English, and I had a hard time understanding a lot of things. But you know, that's not unusual with my hearing. But I thought he did a fantastic job. It didn't sway my decision any.
Well, okay, and that's where I get to, because I mean, in this omnibus, defense bill here, I mean, $1.8 billion. $1.8 billion military aid, and also a go ahead for Patriot surface to air missiles. Now, you know, obviously the constant saber rattling out of Moscow is going to tell you that that's an escalation, right? That we're giving them surface to air missiles. What's your thought on that?
Well, being on armed service, Russia's been a problem and always will be a problem, and they're always threatening everybody. I mean, that's just their nature and how they do things. I think they're a bunch of blowhards. I'm not going to base what I do today on their threats, period. That's just about as un-American as you can get. We got a fighting force that can more than take care of us. With that said, being on armed services, we've been saying for the last 10 months, get them some long-range missiles. The military keeps telling us, the chief of staff and everyone keeps telling us, oh, they don't need it, they don't need it, they don't need it. Now that they're running out of money, all of a sudden they need it. You know, now, they need it, so they need more money. And I don't buy into that. We should have done it 10 months ago. The Ukraine's have done an incredible job. We as taxpayers have done an incredible job shooting them and getting them for this. But, you know, that's the way Washington works. They want to make it all a priority at the last minute. And if you don't vote for it, you're against it.
Right,
no,
right.
No, it's not that simple.
No, they try to make everything a binary choice. From your opinion, and obviously you can only tell us so much, but with committee assignments and all that, but you're feeling, this is just Sean and Jerry talking, all right? You and I do a lot of this. Can Ukraine win this? I don't know what winning is, but does this ever end?
I think Ukraine's already won. I think they've won in the public's eyes, mm-hmm. and that's where it's the most dangerous. Now you got countries like Poland and you got NATO. You know, they're not going to be near as fearful of Russia as they have in the past. And, you know, my problem with the funding of Ukraine is NATO. You know, we're carrying 64% of the cost of that war.
Yeah.
We're one country.
What about dang Germany?
Involved in NATO. Where is their money?
Yeah, where's Germany's money?
So, you know, step up Germany, step up France, step up NATO countries, and pick up your portion, because 64% from one country that's not even on the continent is not what I consider a fair fight.
No, agreed. And, you know, a lot of people have, have had a belly full of the funding for Ukraine. You know, they say enough is enough.
Well, and I get that. And I try to be open-minded on especially something as important as this. I think where we've missed it, I truly think from a NATO standpoint, I don't think we've been forceful enough on NATO. I don't think Germany understands that if America, if we back off, they're going to pick up 100% of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to start working more with us. Quit talking and start doing. They've promised a lot of things they've never delivered, and things I can't get into, but they've promised a lot of weapons and things that have not been delivered. So we need to force them to do more in this conflict or this war, and it's a war, it's not a conflict, in this war, and quit putting all the pressure and the burden on the American taxpayers. It doesn't mean we walk away, by no means. But I think that, you know, we're going to have close to, what, $100 billion in this before long?
Yeah.
And we've got to, at some point, place and time, we can't just keep spending and borrowing money. We can't do it. This country cannot afford to do it. We're going into a depression. This is going to stimulate that depression. It's going to cause it to get worse and worse and worse. But, I get frustrated because everybody wants, you know, they want to send a congressman up there to change it all. I'm one vote. You know, and I'm constantly trying to convince people that my view's right, obviously, but I'm also open-minded enough. I'm listening, trying to figure out what I'm missing. I'm being a freshman up here. You better understand you're a freshman and start listening. And you know, we got too many people up here who want to talk. They don't want to listen. But anyway.
Congressman, we appreciate your time. I know you got votes going on. Let's catch up when you get back to town. Hopefully safe travels back to back here in AL1.
Well, I wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Love on your family a little bit extra this year. They're special to all of us. So I'm just so proud to represent you here in Washington. Thank you, Sean.
Hey, thank you, Congressman Jerry Carl, our guest, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.